for having me in Florence. My wife was sad when she first found out that I was coming to Florence, that I'd be away for a week until I told her about Ponte Vecchio. She's very happy now. So, anyway, what I'm going to talk about is the Emergency Severity Index. Oh, sorry, there's a delay. I'm going to discuss the Emergency Severity Index, which is the United States' five-level triage system that is becoming more and more adopted. Basically, we all know what triage is. It's basically a system of sorting out. It's a French word for putting one person there, one person there. We all know that today we have extremely limited resources when we're dealing with patients, and we have to put those, you know, put them in the appropriate places. And the purpose of triage, we can say, is to put the patient, we have to put the right person, meaning how sick they are, in the right place, in the right amount of time, and for the right reasons. And when we look at triage nursing, I always consider triage to be on the front line. You're the one dealing with the public. You're the one dealing with the patients that's possibly in demise. And you're the person that, in my opinion, in an emergency department has the greatest liability. Because you're the one who's saying, yes, you go first, yes, you don't go first. And in the United States, you know, with the previous three-level system, which is right here, you are really given a little too much subjectivity. You can have one experienced nurse saying that, yes, you're a level three, where another nurse not so comfortable with sending a patient back to the waiting room, you would have a person who they would say is a level two. So a lot of that depended on their skills at triage. Given that we have less nurses, less experienced nurses, younger nurses that are out doing these jobs because of necessity, because of decreased staffing, there's too much subjectivity with this system. So like in England in the mid-90s to the late 90s, what a system started to be developed, the five-level triage system, and like I said, I just did explain why we don't use these, why we're not using these. We basically needed a need for change in the United States. In the United States, there's over 100 million emergency department visits each year. That's pretty significant. Why has this gone up in leaps and bounds? We know that we have an increasing volume and decreasing resources. So we're dealing with more people with less, and that is just significantly difficult to deal with. So, and a lot of patients now in the United States, we don't have a socialized medicine system, so a lot of patients are uninsured. They don't have primary care physicians or general practitioners. They have to go to the emergency department for their primary care because in the United States, me as a triage nurse, I can't say I need your MasterCard for care, which is good because I don't want to take anybody's money because I don't want to prohibit care for them. But they need to get to the right place. They need to get health care. They come see us. So what we've had to do, we had to change the system. We had to deal with how many resources we had and how we can allocate those resources. What the Emergency Severity Index allows us to do is to better decide what resources these patients need for their care. And this is basically it. It's a little more subjective than the Manchester system. But it allows, since we do work in a different healthcare system, it allows, I'm sure Jill would disagree that it would probably work in the United States, but it is more subjective than the Manchester triage system. But it was adopted from the Canadian system and the Australian system that was in use at the time. So basically what it is it's the same thing with the five levels, except we use numbers, and you have basically a patient that would be in demise would be categorized as a level one, and you would get that patient to a resuscitation room or wherever they needed. What this system also can predict is your mortality, hospital stay, given that you follow up on studies with it. And then we go for a priority two would be a high risk, immediate organ threat, high liability risk. Would you give your last monitor this patient? In other words, would you kick somebody out to put this guy in? And we all know that we do that. We make decisions like that every day. It's you have to look at it as the greatest good for the greatest number when we're dealing with these systems. So, and then you just put the patient as a priority too. That's another patient that I wouldn't let wait. and also along with the resources. Now, keep in mind, too, I've worked in community hospitals, and I've also worked in teaching institutions. And what I've realized from working at both places is what an experienced attending physician would do at a community hospital, a resident in an emergency room at a teaching hospital would not do as much testing. Now, I'm not saying that the patient wouldn't get as good as care. I'm just saying that it's different. So you have to keep that in mind, too, when you're looking at the systems that you work. So this would work in a facility. It would be really difficult, I think, in my opinion, to study this nationally and kind of pick it out, because there are different systems within the United States. There's teaching, there's community, there's different things like that. But in our system, we could study it, it would work. And you go by how many assets this patient is going to need. You know, if you have somebody with abdominal pain, for instance, we know that they're going to need more than one. They're going to need many. So you could say that this patient could have a normal, semi-normal heart rate, slightly increased respirations, afebrile, and respiratory rate okay, you know, breathing fine and everything. You could classify that patient as a 3, because you know what you're going to need with this patient when they come in, and I will give examples later on. And basically, a patient that you would have a 5 really does not need that many nursing interventions or resources that are going to be used in your facility. And then a 4 would be slightly resources, maybe one resource. And it's like I said, it's based on ESI, it's based on needs. And what we can do is look back on this, and the initial the initial study was done at 2 hospitals, Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston, and also, I forgot the hospital's name in New York, but it was used in New York also. Given that these 2 physicians and this 1 nurse researcher worked on it, they were able to come up with this data and said that they were accurately able to predict admission rates, emergency resource consumption, i.e., do you need a tech? Do you need security? Do you need how many nursing interventions, IVs, medications, things of that nature, and also ED length of stay? And that is a little sketchy too, because that changes with your volume in your hospital. Because I mean, we could have an ED length of stay of someone on 4 hours, but we could have a day when there's no beds in the hospital and a patient could wait 12, 16, 18 hours in our hospital. We don't get fined for having the patients wait around, although I wish the hospital would. It would get people moving more. And also, they could predict mortality off a nurse's triage system, off the priority that they were given. And what does it do for us? It gives us a greater emphasis on asset allocation. So in other words, we could look at a year historically, we could look at months historically throughout the year and say November, December, January is our start of and finish of our cold and flu season. We can predict how many patients are coming in, how many patients are going to be admitted, and what their stay is going to be. So the hospital can kind of plan for it. Do they always plan for it? Working down in the emergency department, we may not believe that they plan for it, but somewhere somebody does. So, it better places the patient in the right place in the adequate amount of time and for the right reasons, and that's why we're here. Now, I'll just go through some examples, and this will just make it real clear. Basically, a case one, you have a 76-year-old male collapsed at a shopping mall. Automatic electronic defibrillator was used in the field within 3 minutes. There was no shock advised on the AED. The patient was intubated and now has an idioventricular rhythm. We know that patient's sick. So obviously they would be a priority one. We have a heart rate of 32 and it's pulseless. So that's basically a code situation. Obviously that would be an ESI. What are we going to need for this patient? This patient's probably going to need 2 nurses, at least 1 physician, tons of meds. If the patient makes it, they're going to need ICU and then cath lab eventually. We can predict that through this patient's course just from our experience. So we know that patient's going to need this. So obviously that one's a no-brainer. And then we have case number 2 would be, this is something that a lot of nurses would look at different ways. When I was doing a lot of reading on this, this is something that a lot of nurses would look at differently. Where you have a patient that was called in by the police, it wasn't even an ambulance call, that the patient had a psychiatric history, he was brought in by the police, he was combative, and he said, I'm just going to kill somebody, just let me go. That's a patient that is going to take up a lot of resources in your emergency department. Think about what that does to your department when somebody like that comes in screaming and yelling. Nobody can do their work. Everybody's focused, including the other patients in the department. Total disruption. How many resources are you going to need for that patient? You're obviously going to need security. You may need to, you're probably definitely going to need to restrain the patient. You're going to have to physically restrain him, chemically restrain him, and then he's going to have to be watched throughout his stay. And how good is your system at getting psychiatric patients medically cleared and then onto a psychiatric facility that they need? So you have to look at those. That would be a priority too, just because of allocation and time consumption. Plus, you don't know if that patient's psychotic for a medical reason and these other issues that would develop throughout his stay. And this is one. I couldn't find a nice picture of an abdominal pain, but we all know what it looks like. This would be a patient that right up a quadrant, epigastric pain, 7 out of 10, past eating fried food, has similar episodes in the past without a workup. Normal vital signs, basically she's going to end up needing abdominal workup, abdominal labs, and obviously an ultrasound to diagnose a cholelithiasis. So we all know what type of resources that patient is going to need. And this is a simple one. It's a simple orthopedic injury, normal. He's probably only going to need an x-ray and some pain medications and sent on his way, maybe some crutches, a little bit of instruction on use of the crutches, and follow up with ortho. So we could classify that patient as a 4, depending on what he's going to need. And then a 5 would be the classic Saturday night. I ran out of my Xanax, and my doc's not on this weekend, and I need to get a refill right now. That patient's a simple. Doc goes in, sees him, writes a script, discharge, and go home, if that's indeed the case. So, and this study was followed up at a large teaching hospital, and what they determined was they validated the study in their facility and did state that they had consistent information given that the patient's intake, the patient's ESI score, the patient's length of stay in the emergency department, the patient's course throughout, and how many resources they need. So this study is being repeated in the United States. We adopted this this system back in 2001. We've been using it for about two and a half years now, and we've been able to adequately staff, flex staff for time of year, time of day, just because we know what's going to go on with these patients, and we are using this as information on this. So the bottom line is you have a system where you can accurately say right place, right time, right patient, and the triage nurse is the one responsible for doing that. And that's why we have to learn it and use a consistent method in doing it. So that's it. Was that too fast? No? Thank you.
Grazie.